Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Jennifer Wright's Get Well Soon, a history of plagues that somehow manages to be hilarious, terrifying, and weirdly hopeful all at once. Sophie, I have to ask, did you know that the Dancing Plague of 1518 was a real thing?
Hi there, Sam. I did know about it, but reading this book made me realize how much I didn't understand. Wright's whole point is that diseases have shaped history more than any king or general ever did. And she makes it so human. The Dancing Plague is a perfect example. Hundreds of people in Strasbourg just started dancing uncontrollably, some until they dropped dead.
It's bonkers. And the doctor's response? They thought more dancing would cure them. They built a stage and hired musicians. It's like, oh, you're drowning? Here, have more water.
Exactly. And that pattern runs through the whole book. Wright shows that when faced with the unknown, our ancestors often made things worse by acting on wrong ideas with total confidence. Like with the English sweating sickness in 1485. People would feel fine at dinner and be dead by morning, drenched in a cold sweat. The cure?
Keep them sweating.
Pile on blankets, seal the windows, force warm ale. They were literally speeding up the thing killing them.
It's almost like a dark comedy of errors. But what I loved is that Wright never mocks the people. She explains why they did it. If you don't know about germs, sweating looks like the body purging bad humors. It makes a kind of twisted sense.
Right.
And that's the deeper point. When we're scared, we need to make meaning. Leprosy is a great example. People didn't understand it was a nerve infection that caused loss of sensation. So they decided it was a moral punishment. They forced lepers to wear bells and declared them legally dead. It was society imposing order on chaos.
Yeah, that chapter got me. The cruelty is awful, but you can see the psychology. It's less terrifying to think they sinned than this could happen to anyone.
And then there's the Black Death. Wright spends a lot of time on it, but not just on the gruesome symptoms. She talks about the flagellants whipping themselves in the streets and the scapegoating of Jews. But she also points out that with so many people dead, labor became scarce. Peasants suddenly had bargaining power. Feudalism started to crumble.
That's the part one found most surprising. The plague wasn't just destruction, it cleared the way for the Renaissance. Catastrophe as an engine of change.
Exactly.
And she applies that lens to every disease she covers. Tuberculosis in the 19th century was romanticized as the artist's disease. People thought the pallor and fever made you more creative. Wright gleefully demolishes that myth.
There's nothing romantic about drowning in your own blood, but I get why people told themselves that story. It's a way to cope.
Then there's cholera and Dr. John Snow. He traced an outbreak to a single water pump in London, but the medical establishment was so wedded to the miasma theory that disease came from bad air that they ridiculed him. It took decades for his work to be accepted.
That's infuriating, but also a reminder that science isn't a straight line. It's a messy fight against our own stubbornness.
The 1918 flu pandemic was its own kind of horror. It killed young, healthy people because their immune systems overreacted. Hospitals were overflowing, bodies stacked in hallways. And just as suddenly as it came, it vanished.
No cure, no vaccine.
Just devastation.
That part was terrifying. But then polio comes along and shows the flip side. A disease that paralyzed children, and the fear of it actually mobilized the public. The March of Dimes raised millions, and eventually we got the Salk and Sabin vaccines.
A genuine triumph. And Wright doesn't shy away from the darker modern story either. AIDS in the 1980s was met with government inaction and homophobia. The gay community had to fight for research funding and basic dignity. It's a raw, angry chapter.
But also one of incredible resilience. ACT up using civil disobedience to demand a seat at the table. That's the through line of the whole book, isn't it? We panic, we blame, we try stupid cures. But we also care for the sick and fight for solutions.
That's exactly it. The microbes change, but human nature stays the same. We're flawed and magnificent, and we're still here. That's the strange hope the book leaves you with.
My biggest takeaway is just how much of history is shaped by tiny invisible things. We think we're in control, but a virus can bring civilization to its knees. And yet we keep going.
And honestly, if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
And with that, we'll see you in the next episode. Stay healthy, everyone.
And remember, we've been sick before, we'll be sick again, but we're still here. That's the miracle. We'll see you next time.